Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Right. I think we had a couple of things that happened. I was gone a couple of Saturdays. We had Sister Darcene preach. Precious got skipped. I don't know how that happened. And now I'm back. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I can go sit down. No, I'm just playing. I just thank God for the opportunity to be here. Man, God is good. Amen. I'm excited about the word that he's put in my spirit. And we're just going to get going and preach on this. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, dear God, thanking you for this day. God, we give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. And I pray that the word that you allow me to speak today would impact, would change, would lead people closer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Can you fix that for me? Hallelujah. So this is what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about what are you saying, okay? So I was going through the word, and the scripture kind of just was in my head all day for the last couple of days. And it deals with what comes out your mouth, okay? So my question on what are you saying deals with that, to the point where we have to make sure the things that we are speaking are glorifying to God. Amen. Because if we are not speaking things that glorify God, who is? The Bible says in Romans, how can they hear unless a preacher or somebody that shares the word of God is being sent? Amen. They will not hear God's word without us speaking up about it. So we have to ask ourselves, are we being diligent with the word that we speak? That's the question. Are we being ready and willing to share something about God, or are we getting caught up in the gossip? Or are we getting caught up in the discouragement, the words that don't edify, right? We see that all around us, and you don't have to go too far. But we have to make sure the word of God is living and active in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Amen. I'm going to read two passages today. I don't think I'll be up here long, but I'm going to read Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. I'm going to read it in the New King James, and I'm going to go ahead and read it in the Amplified version as well, so we can really get what this is saying. Amen. Hallelujah. It says this, Colossians 4, verse 2 through 6, Mike, says, continue earnestly in prayer. Somebody say, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak, the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let me go to, like I said, let me go to the Amplified version, because I want us to really get to see what this is saying in another version. And the Amplified breaks it down. It says, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray for us also that God may open a door to us for the word, the gospel, to proclaim the mystery concerning Christ, the Messiah, on account of which I am in prison, that I may proclaim it clear. Sorry, been getting over a little cold. Speak boldly and unfold as is my duty. Behave yourselves wisely, living prudently with discretion in your relationships with those of the outside world, which is the non-Christians, making the most of the time and seizing, buying up the opportunity. Let your speech at all times be gracious, pleasant, and winsome, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may never be at loss to know how you ought to answer anyone who puts a question to you. Now, that's the verse that was in my spirit all week. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, it's very important for us to have that. What I saw is sometimes as the body of Christ, even when we speak with the world, we don't speak with grace. What does grace mean? We give them something they don't deserve. Okay? God has given us something we didn't deserve. That's his grace. Okay? So when we speak with grace, we are not going to tell them what they do deserve, but we're going to tell them about the love of God. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't tell them that they are sinners, but we don't dwell on that. Get what I'm saying? Have you ever went with somebody or you've been around somebody that just kind of jabbed at somebody and said, you're a sinner, you're a heathen, there's nothing good about you, you're the devil's children, right? I mean, that's not really helping people at that point. Like I said, I always feel like God can use anything, but it says right here, it doesn't say just go ahead and talk. It says let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Now, the Bible talks about us being the light and the salt of the earth, right? When we are the salt of the earth, what our job is to preserve. So when we speak to people, we should speak to them with how can they be saved? When you are at your job and people are talking, you know, it's funny because let's say there was an accident, right? I remember there was one time there was a pretty bad accident right by my office. And it actually happened to be somebody that was coming to my office. So they get in. I go out there because I hear it. It's like, pow. And, you know, it's all dramatic when you hear it. And, you know, I went to go see the car and I was like, oh, man, it's messed up. Right. Because there was an accident. And you know what some people say? They got out, no scratches, nothing, but their car was jacked up. And, you know, some people, oh, you guys are lucky. Whew. You know, because if it would have happened, man, oh, wow, that's just chance, right? You should have been dead, but, oh, man, somehow you're not. Now, as a believer, I got to say, no, not luck. It's the covering of God, right? That's how we take an opportunity of not speaking something that's not going to be beneficial to say, hold up. Let me let somebody know that this was God. Now, whether they agree with that or not, they heard it. Okay? And guess what? When people don't agree with something that you say about God, usually it kind of messes with them. Right? Let's say if you're doing something wrong and somebody corrects you in God and you don't accept it instantly, it will mess with you all night until you feel like I need to get this thing right. Right? I had somebody this week contacted me, was going through something, and he said some things, and instead of just answering in the flesh, I said, how can I use this as an opportunity to speak grace, to impart God's saving, preserving power? So before we even speak, we have to think, is this going to be something that God is going to be glorified in? Amen? Somebody ask yourself, what am I saying? What am I saying? Because only you know what you are saying. If we go up in the verse, in that same chapter, verse 3. Meanwhile, first it said, pray continuously, be vigilant with thanksgiving. Then it says, pray that God would open a door for us to share the mystery of Christ. And Paul said at that time he was actually in prison. Okay? So our prayer, as we are going, these are the things that we need to be speaking. We need to pray that God's word will come. We will have the opportunity to share God's word. And people understand what the mystery is. Amen? Because guess what? Some of us have shared God's word, and we might not see instantly them get that aha moment where they're like, wow, I got it. But we should be praying. So if we're not praying this, we should pray, God, give me the opportunity to share your word, share who you are with people so they understand it. Amen. If you go to a whole bunch of churches and there's great words being preached, guess what? Some of them are not understanding what is going on. Okay? They hear the word, but they unfortunately are not doing the word, which means it is of no profit to them. So our prayer should be, God, help them understand your word and act upon your word. Amen? How am I preaching to myself? I must be preaching to myself. Okay, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. When we think about this, we're talking about what we're speaking, but even the way that you walk, it should be with wisdom around, especially the people that don't know Jesus. The Bible says that we are mocked as believers because of some of the believers that say and profess that they know Jesus Christ, but their lifestyle says different. So you hear things like, oh, the whole church is fake. All pastors are just trying to steal people's money. Right? Come on, help me. What are some other things we hear? They're not really saved. You know, it's, I don't know who is what. You know, it's just so many different things that people say about the church because we need to represent God well. And unfortunately, we haven't did that. Amen? Even some of the things that we do, maybe we have just acted foolishly at one moment. I'm not saying that you haven't acted saved, but there may be times in our lives where we didn't represent God like we were supposed to. I'm at guilt for that. All of us are at guilt for that. Peter was at guilt for that when they said, Peter, do you know Jesus? He said, no. They asked him again. He said, bleep, 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 no. And if you want a little more, bleep, 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 bleep. I don't know the man. All right? He didn't represent him well at that time. But thank God for his grace. Amen? Not only for his grace, we give grace to the other believers that say, that speak the same thing or speak without knowing, or maybe they misrepresented God. We say, God can still use you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. And it talks about walk in love and walk in the light. Can you make sure that thing is plugged in, please? Ephesians 5 says, therefore, be imitators. Somebody say imitators. So we have a job to copy or imitate God. As his children. I got 5 children, right? Now, the funny thing is, I just watched my son today play these bongos and try to imitate me. Okay? Now, how did he do it? He's singing. It wasn't enough for him to play. He's singing unto the Lord. And not only is he singing, he's singing with his heart. Okay? Now, I don't know if Marquise can sing yet. I haven't really heard him too much. But his heart wants to. Okay? See, check it out. Sometimes you might try to copy or do things unto God, and it might not work all the way right, but God is saying, I want your heart. And if your heart is right, I'm cool with that. That's what the Lord would say. Because it said David was not a man that was just good or that was just skilled. He was a man after God's own heart. So when we imitate God, our heart should be like God. We're talking about, what are you saying? When you speak on behalf of God, it should not always be to slap people up. It should not always be cut. You should not always take the word of God and just cut people with God's word. Guess what? This same word that does cut, the Bible says that it separates joints in the marrow so that we can know what his word is talking about, right? It is also living and active. So this same word that we speak must be spoken with life. Guess what? There's a lot of people that are consumed with death around us. Consumed with death to the point some don't even want to live. And you have the agent that can keep them alive, the word of God, but I got to ask you, what are you speaking? When they come to you and say, man, I'm tired of this life, what are you going to tell them? If you're not in your word, you're just going to be like, it's okay, it's okay. And guess what? It's okay is not always going to be the answer. They need to know their creator. They need to know Jesus. So they can have purpose in their life. So what are you speaking? Verse 2 says, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet aroma. The Bible says this, they will know us by our love for one another. It's easy to bicker amongst believers. I remember I was in the store one time and a guy asked me what I do, and I told him, yeah, I'm a pastor and I'm a father of five kids. I do Christian rap music and I just love God. He said, you do Christian rap music? That's the devil, right? And I was like, okay. And then for 20 minutes, I tried to convince him that it wasn't the devil. Then after 20 minutes, I was like, this ain't gonna work. I said, God bless you, brother. You have a great day. I might see you again, might not. Hallelujah. Right? Now, I left that store frustrated, bought some charcoal and left that store frustrated, right? Because sometimes we allow the littlest things to separate us. And, you know, I gave him some scriptures that said, you know, this is what I do. This is why I use it. Da, 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 da. He went and got his homeboy. And, oh, no. I thought his homeboy had some sense, right? And he was like, no, that's of the devil. And I was like, oh, Jesus. God bless you. Right? Now, I went. And I came, we had service that day, I had to preach, so I had to get my mind right, because I was frustrated. I talked to my dad, I was like, what is the deal with these people, man? Like, and guess what? It's not just one thing. There's so many different things that we get hung up on as the body of Christ. Should we worship on a Sunday? Should we worship on a Saturday, right? Should we wear church clothes? Should we wear a robe? What should we wear? Like, man, listen, man, it's all about the heart. Having a heart unto God. But many times, we let these things separate us. So we are not walking in love as Christ has loved us. Ain't it funny that Jesus' own disciples were bickering and arguing about things, right? They said, you turn that thing off when it or something. But they said, who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus said, it's the one that serves the most. But they're like, Jesus, wait, make sure there's a spot for us on the left hand and the right hand. And Jesus was like, no, but the other disciples were upset about that. Because they felt like they're taking their place. Because we all want to be great. But God makes us great. Knowing and loving God is what will make us be great Christians. Tell your neighbor, knowing and loving God makes you a great believer. All right. So it says walk in love. Then it also tells us to get rid of some things. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Look at this verse. I like how God ties these up. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. What are you saying? You know that you can talk and they can just be empty words? Have you ever gotten a conversation with somebody and they're speaking and after a while it's like, what are they talking about? No, I'm serious. Like, for real. Like, you've been with them and it's like, oh my gosh. I had a time, I was like, it's time to go. You know, that's when you call yourself on the phone. Hold up. Hold up. Somebody's calling me. Excuse me. Hey, man, I'm going to have to go. Sorry. Because empty words don't help you. None of us eat empty meals, right? I'm not going to go sit at a plate and just sit there and act like I'm eating and there's nothing on the plate. It's empty. So the same thing happens when we listen to empty words. Empty words pollute. Empty words don't produce fruit. They drain it. They kill it. Right? It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Guess what? They deceive us with empty words so much these days with TV, with music, with YouTube, however you consume things. Make sure the things that you watch are not giving you empty words. Because empty words are negatively affecting your spirit to the point where you're like, maybe I should get that. Because it looks good on that person, right? It looked like it's working for Billy on TV. Billy came up, and how'd he do it? He came up by deceiving people, right? So we see Billy, call him the goat, right? Billy the goat, deceiving people. And because of his deceit, guess what? Somebody's going to try the same thing. Those are empty words. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words because of these things, the empty words, this is what he's talking about. Because of the empty words, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What are you speaking? Are you speaking empty words? Unfortunately, I've heard preachers that preach empty words. Oh, just shout hallelujah 15 times and you're going to get a blessing. Listen, that don't work for everybody. Okay? Sometimes they do that just so, and I've been with people that do music, they just want it loud. They just want you to get up. Come on, make some noise. Oh! Right? And if you don't make enough noise, they're like, man, that concert was lame. But guess what? I feel like sometimes the people that don't make the most noise are the ones that can be impacted the most because they're actually listening. Right? Don't be deceived with empty words. The last verse the next verse says in Ephesians 5:7, do not be partakers with them in empty speaking. Don't partake in emptiness. Somebody say, don't do the empty. Then it says, let's go, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Somebody tell your neighbor, walk as children of the light. This is very important that you walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruits of the Spirit is not in Ephesians, it's in Galatians. But for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Do you guys catch that? Don't have a union with things that are not of God. Expose them. Now, hold up. Does that mean we need a YouTube channel and just say, hey, look, I saw that person. He did this, and I think he's of the Illuminati. You know, yeah, we've seen things like that, right? Is that what it's talking about? No. Some of those videos are so fake. It's empty. And guess what? I don't believe anybody's really going to be impacted from that. But expose it in your own lives. The Bible says, I cannot go to my brother with a speck in his eye with a plank in my own. I can't have this big old piece of tissue in my eyes and say, hey, I mean, what would it look like, right? If I'm coming down here with this in my eye, this box of tissue, and I say, hey, Monica, you got something in your eye. Right? What does it look like? It looks like I'm crazy. And Monica will be like, no, you're the one with something in your eye. But unfortunately, we do that when we try to point out somebody else's flaws without addressing our own. We have to say, God, clear me. Even if I don't know what's going wrong in my life, reveal it to me, right? So once I know that it's wrong, help me not to walk in it. Now, my wife got on me one time about throwing my fingernails out the window. She says, that's littering. I was like, get out of here, right? But now every now and then I start doing it again, right? And I'm like, dang, my wife said it's littering. Now I'm starting to think, is that really littering? You know, I'm like, man, my fingernails ain't that long. Nobody even sees them. But I've been in the habit of doing it, so now I have to stop it because I'm like, maybe it is littering, okay? Now, what I will say is, I think I got that from my dad because we used to throw bricks out. No, just playing. I was like, what? Bricks? No, we used to throw like apple cores and things out. You know, we're like, hey, the animals will eat it. It's not really littering. Throw it on the side of the street. But, hey, I can't tell if that's littering. My dad told me it was fine. So I didn't think there was nothing wrong with my fingernails that I rip off and just throw them out the window and nobody sees. But my wife says it was littering. So I'm working on it. Somebody say working on it. Working on it. All right. It says expose them. That's what I'm talking about. Expose the little things that you do in your life. The little foxes damage you the most. Now, what does that mean? That's actually in the Bible. The little foxes destroy the vines. The little foxes used to go underneath things, and if you didn't have things to keep them out, you wouldn't have a harvest. So what really would happen is, if you don't have a harvest, that means you're not going to eat, right? And it's because you allowed the little foxes in your life. I actually said it in the song, and I can't remember the lyrics right now. That's what happens when you have a lot of songs. But I talked about it. It's the little things that mess your life up that you think are okay. You're like, oh, I think it's okay. It's not really hurting anybody, right? Nobody knows, right? These are the things that the enemy would tell you. It's okay. Just let it slide. Let that go. Nobody will know. It's not going to, you know, I had a testimony of somebody on my radio show. He was like, I was doing stuff and I didn't think nobody, it wasn't hurting nobody. So I was okay, but it was hurting him. And guess what? Those little things that you keep allowing get bigger and bigger. It's like that little snowball in cartoons where it started rolling down the hill, and by the time it gets to the end of the hill, it's an avalanche, right? And it's destroying a whole city because somebody let the little thing slide. They didn't address it. So I'm telling you to expose the things the enemy is trying to do in your life and close that door. Amen? I need another strong amen on that one. All right, it says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Everything that you do, it's going to come back to you. It's funny because I've seen it happen in life, and I've been here for 30-odd years, right? And you see people try to keep secrets, but somehow the secret gets out. And I believe the word of God says everything that is done in the dark will become manifested in the light. Because God will expose your heart. That's scary. Think about that. God is going to expose my heart. But it said in this chapter right before, if God shines the light, that is, Christ is the light. He's helping me. I can get it right. But many people don't want to get it right. How many of you guys know that most people that are doing wrong, especially in the body of Christ, know they're doing wrong? And they were convicted at one point, but when they continue in it, it's like, man, look, this is part of my life now. I couldn't stop it if I wanted to. This is just as as Paul said, this is just my thorn in my flesh. Right? They even try to get spiritual with it, right? You know, Paul had an issue. I have one too. And God's grace is sufficient for me. Right? Listen to what you're saying. Be careful that you don't quote empty words from the word of God. Because what they just basically said in that is, I am justifying what I am doing. And God doesn't justify what you do. You are not justified by God unless you accept Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen? We're going to read 15 through 21, and then we'll be done. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Excuse me. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How many of you know that time is running short? I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about that. And think about, oh, man, it would be great if I could just get this. I would love to drive my old school at least once, Lord, right? I would love to. But how many are thinking spiritually, man, time is running out. God, I need to see my brother saved. God, help me share something that's going to help these people give their life to God. I got friends that still don't know God. And I want them to know God. I don't want them to be dead in their trespasses and their sins. We have to redeem the time. Steph Curry knows when there's 3 seconds left on the clock, if he gets the ball, he got to go and shoot it. And a lot of times he makes those shots because he's cognizant, or he understands that time is running out. So he does everything in his power to try to redeem that time. And if that means, basically, that means score during that time. And we love it when he makes a buzzer beater shot. Or if you don't like Steph Curry, oh well, whoever you like, right? We love the last minute in a football game. The Minnesota Vikings had one of the biggest playoff walk-off touchdowns in history, right? At the end of the game, the quarterback, Case Keenum, throws it to Stephon Diggs. The guy misses him. He runs to the end zone. There's no more time left on the clock. They celebrate because they realize time is running short and we have to do something. But I don't know about you, but I need to see Christians on the same type of vibe where they're like, yo, time is running out. We have to do something. I cannot let the devil win, right? I cannot let the enemy win, so I have to do something. Even if that means I'm going to have to get up and pray a little bit more, I'm going to have to do it because I know time is running out. I'm going to have to open up my mouth and share the word of God with somebody that may not have accepted it yet because time is running out. What are we speaking? I'm not mad. I'm not. We just got to get excited about God's word. It has to start coming out of our mouths even when we least expect it. When they tell you you can't talk about Jesus, just say, well, God is good. I didn't say Jesus. Yeshua. I was with somebody today. He was like, just say all the names of God, Jehovah Jireh. They don't know what you're talking about. But they do know, right? Don't let empty words come out of your mouth. Don't let us have empty things come out of us that don't really help. We are running out of time, and we need to get on the alert and say, it's time for me to make sure I'm speaking something. I have to redeem the time because the days are evil. And then verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So many people want to argue, is it okay to drink? But those same people don't talk about being drunk in the Spirit of God. They just want to know, is it okay if I drink? Right? Have you heard people talk about that? Is it okay for a believer to drink? Those same believers most of the time don't believe in being filled with the Spirit. Because I believe you can only be filled with one. Now, I'm not going to say if you drink something, every now and then you're going to hell. But you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, if I had an organ, big three, hallelujah. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God. So, speaking to one another, here it goes again, verse 19. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to allow you to speak into one another with words that are not empty. Amen. And it says when you do that, you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay? This is a scripture that I could have used when I talked to the person. He don't want to hear it. That's okay. I'm speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Catch that. Then it says, giving thanks. Somebody say thanks. Always, for all things to God the Father, the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak with life, with authority, right? We speak giving thanks. It should even come in our, when we speak, it starts to go into what we listen to. I don't want to hear something that's not going to glorify God. I have a problem with some of the Christian rappers today because they don't even want to be called Christian rappers in the first place, right? But their words are empty. It started from telling your testimony, which is good. Now you're just talking about yourself, which is really what the world does. Right? I'm good. I'm fly. This is me. What's up? I got these issues and da 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 da. That's not the gospel. Might be true, but you need some words that are going to speak life, not empty words. People know that they are struggling, But if you don't give them the answer to their struggle, you are just continuing the struggle. Catch me? If you are not speaking words of life, you are just speaking words of death. There is no middle ground. We have to speak life. Giving thanks to God always. God the Father, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's the last scripture I'm going to read, but we have to make sure the words we speak are really impacting people. We can't speak empty words. We have to speak life. We have to speak life-changing words. We have to speak the gospel. We have to speak us being crucified and dying with Christ and raising up again in him, because he's the one that gives our life purpose. Amen? We have to speak. What are you speaking? Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that you forgive us all for speaking words that were empty, speaking things that didn't make a difference in somebody's life. God, we pray, dear God, that your word would come out of our mouths. Dear God, that it would pierce people's lives, oh God, and change them. Dear God, that it would produce fruit, life, joy, hope in people's lives, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, I pray to God that we be reminded that it is our job to speak what you have called us to speak. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody say, amen and amen. All right, we are dismissed. Keep on praying for me. Get over this cold. I was fine yesterday.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.